This is your FBI. This is your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Tonight, the subject of our FBI file, Escape. Its title, The Swamp Killer.
The psychology of the criminal is the psychology of the hunted. Inevitably, pursuit follows crime. Inevitably, the lawbreaker's first reaction is to run, to hide, to find safe haven from the systematic, scientific hunting of law enforcement officers. Getaway and hideout are so integral to criminal thinking and jargon that they have become part of the American language. Sometimes, as the cougar seeks his lair, the fugitive retires to a carefully prepared and well-secreted destination. Again, like a panicky stag, he may run without plan or procedure. Or, as in the case you are about to hear, he may attempt to elude his pursuers like the swamp fox by disappearing into little-known and difficult terrain. Wherever he runs, however distant or dangerous the trail, it is the job of your FBI to follow him, flush him into the open, and bring him back to justice and to the legal retribution of society. Tonight's FBI file begins deep in the Florida Everglades. Two men pole a shallow canoe through the brackish swamp water between the black arch of the mangrove roots. Between them sits a red-haired girl who listens tensely to the strange sounds of the swamp.
Now I know why they say crazy as a loon. Even a bird would have to be nuts to live in a place like this.
And what would you call a man who picks it for a honeymoon?
I'd call him nice.
Oh. Well, I'll admit it's not much of a spot.
Chuck, it's perfect. And this is a perfect honeymoon.
You know, Tracy, I'm not at all sure I approve of marriage for historians.
Oh?
All day when I was supposed to be looking at historic landmarks, I kept looking at you instead.
You just think about your book. That's important.
If anyone reads it.
Well, of course they will. Osceola, chief of the Seminoles. One of the greatest military geniuses of all time. He was, wasn't he?
Right. Poor guy, we've named three counties and nearly 20 towns after him, but he hardly rates a line in the history books.
In other people's history books. Yours is going to be different.
I hope so. Kowasa?
Yeah?
Your grandfather served with Osceola, didn't he?
He was there, Professor. Yes.
Did he remember much about it, Kowasa?
That he was afraid. That he wanted to run away.
But he didn't.
When you have come to swamp, there is an end of running. Past this place, only death lives.
That's how Osceola's village got its name, Chafiofi.
Meaning what?
In my language, that is last earth of earth.
Here we are. Okay, honey.
Thanks. Another night, another 50 mosquito bites. What's that?
Sounds like... Come on. Hey.
Hello.
It's a soldier.
What happened, soldier?
A snake. It came off one of them trees. I kept walking as long as I could.
Water moccasin?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what to do?
Yeah. Kowasa, bring a razor blade and Tracy, light a fire and get some water boiling with
it. Right.
Oh. All right, take it easy.
Oh.
A razor, Professor.
Thanks. How long ago were you bitten?
30 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know for sure.
Uh-huh. Chuck, will he...
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. Now, this is going to hurt. It'll hurt plenty.
I can take it.
A few minutes later, at an army camp near a southern coastal city, Special Agent Jim Taylor of the FBI enters the office of Major John B. Logan, Corps of Military Police, the camp provost marshal.
Yeah?
Special Agent Taylor, FBI.
Oh, sure, Taylor. Your SAC said you'd be down. Good to see you again.
Thank you, sir. Well, what have you got, Major? A deserter?
Yeah,
a
prisoner broke out of the stockade this morning, clubbed a guard, took his gun and uniform.
Oh, had to get off the post?
Yep. Commandeered a jeep and ran the gate.
Have enough gas to go very far?
Report came in that he stopped at a filling station just over the state line, filled the tank and the auxiliary cans, then slugged the attendant and cleaned the cash drawer.
Hey, sounds like a tough customer. What was he in the stockade for?
Charged with assaulting an officer. Being held for general court-martial.
Mm-hmm. Got any personal data on him?
Yeah. Name is Charles Becker, private. Listed about 2 months ago. Gave his home address as Dry Flats, Utah.
He's a long way from home base.
Sure is. Here's his ID card. Fingerprints.
Thanks. 6'2", 190. Big guy, huh?
Yeah, the type who thinks with his fists.
All right, sir. I'll tell the type the Salt Lake Field Office. They may pick up something in his hometown.
You think he'd head for there?
Utah's pretty far off, but it's a possibility. Meanwhile, I'll get on a 3-state alarm. Or do you have the number on that jeep?
No, I can get it from the motor pool.
Fine. Well, we'll have the highways checked both north and southbound.
Southbound? Where would he go?
Oh, into the swamp country, maybe.
Could be a good place for a man to hide at that.
Could be, if he lives through it.
Here, drink this.
Thanks. That helps. Thanks, Professor.
Forget it.
Coffee, dear?
No, thanks.
I didn't know the Army was operating near here. You on maneuvers?
Kinda. You might say it's a secret project.
Uh-huh. Well, if you've no objections, it's been a long day, and my wife and I would like
Professor,
to...
Professor, nobody's going anyplace.
He has a gun.
Yeah. That tent. You got any firearms in there?
Carbine?
You, Big Chief, that carbine. Get it.
Better do as he says, Kawasa.
Yes, sir.
And no engine tricks.
Chuck, he's not a soldier.
That's what I tried to tell the MPs.
You a deserter?
No, I just got tired of being shoved around, that's all. Couldn't take it, see? Okay, Chief, hand that gun over.
Yeah.
Don't float very good, does it?
What do you want with us?
Way to get out of this dump. How'd you get in? You got a boat around here someplace, ain't you?
Well, I don't think you'd be very good at paddling.
You mean all you got's a canoe?
That's right.
I don't believe it. All that gear in one canoe, it don't add up. When's your boat due, Professor? Big Chief, when's the boat coming? Answer me.
There's an airboat coming in the morning.
Oh. Well, so I'm stuck with you for the night. Go on to sleep. All of you go to sleep. I'll keep the fire going. I'm gonna sit up for a while. I gotta think. Yeah. And no tricks. You know what, Professor? I can stay up 3 days and 3 nights without sleeping. I've done it lots of times.
So no tricks.
Chuck.
Yeah?
The other gun. Where is it?
It's in the airboat. Juan took it for alligators.
He's got his back to us. Maybe I could slip away. Set up a signal for Juan.
No, too risky. Besides, then we'd be stranded too.
But we can't just lie here.
We can't do anything else, Tracy.
What if he decides to...
He won't. Not before morning.
How can you be sure?
It stands to reason, Tracy. He'll need us as decoys for the boat. Besides, he's feverish, exhausted. Sooner or later, he's...
All right, you two, no whispering. You got something to say, sound off. Well?
Okay, let's keep it this way. Nice and quiet.
All right, Sergeant, these checks.
Morning, Major.
Oh, hello, Taylor.
Told me it's your office. You're down here at the arsenal.
Turn up anything on Becker?
No luck so far. What about the Jeep?
Still unreported.
Well, we may have taken it cross-country. Air Force is lending us a couple of helicopters. We can try and pick up a trail that way.
Fine. I hope it works.
Oh, I've got the teletype report here from the Salt Lake Field Office. Seems friend Becker was quite a character in dry flats.
Have a police record?
Oh, nothing serious, just drunk and disorderly, simple assault, but he was known as a pretty rough customer.
That's the way he shaped up here, too.
Got into a fight at a roadhouse, half killed a man, cleared out of town after that. I guess that's when he joined up.
Any family or close friends?
No, he's a loner. Just drifted into town, drifted out of here.
That's it.
Why, just about. He did a lot of hunting. He's known as a crack shot.
And he's armed. Sweet fellow to meet up with on a dark night.
Yeah. Sweet like a water moccasin.
Get up, Professor. It's morning.
Oh, all right.
Come on, all of you. Up. Up.
What?
Time for breakfast. I'm hungry. On your feet, Chief. Start the fire. You redhead, put on some coffee. I've been up all night. I can use it.
Fix it yourself.
Now, don't give me no trouble. Hey, Professor. That's it, isn't it?
That's it.
All right, watch it.
Buenos dias, señor professor.
Buenos dias, Juan.
I bring the supply, like you say.
Well, fine, Juan, that's fine.
Yeah. You got a new compadre, huh?
Yes, that's right.
When he come?
Last night.
Oh, it's no good to be in the swamp at night. He a professor, too?
No, Juan, he's criminal, maybe murderer.
Shut up. You in a boat. Get away from that rifle.
Chuck, what?
He's dead, Tracy.
If you'd have kept quiet, everything had been all right. Okay, on to the boat. Let's get moving.
I'm afraid not.
I'm getting tired of arguments, Professor.
Take a look at the boat. That hull is rubber. Your bullet went clean through it. It collapsed.
Like a balloon.
Yeah. Just like a balloon.
In just a moment, we'll hear the dramatic conclusion of tonight's exciting case from the official files of your FBI. And And now back to the FBI file, The Swamp Killer.
Whether he knows it or not, there is one law which even the most hardened criminal always obeys. The law of cause and effect. Data in the files of your FBI show that the commission of a single felonious act almost invariably is the cause of new crimes, frequently more serious than the original offense. Thus, the criminal in tonight's case began with a violation of the Articles of War, compounded the felony by becoming a fugitive from prosecution, then in swift succession, piled on assault with a deadly weapon, kidnapping, murder. When captured, this so-called tough guy whined that he'd had to do it, that he'd had no choice. This man and others like him forget that every man has the God-given right to choose between reason and violence, between law and crime, between good and evil. Brick Becker had a choice, all right, but he made the wrong one. Tonight's FBI file continues at field headquarters in the Metropolitan Center near the Army post at which Brick Becker had been stationed. Special Agent Jim Taylor is making a phone call.
Provost Marshal's office, Major Logan.
Hello, Major. Jim Taylor.
Oh, how are you, Jim? What's up?
I got some news on the Becker case. Sounds pretty promising.
Oh?
Yeah, a maintenance engineer on one of the Everglades Canal projects reports spotting a Jeep half-submerged in the swamp.
Whereabouts?
Off of a back road at the edge of the Savannah country.
The numbers checked?
Well, we can't tell. They hoisted out. It's in too deep.
You want me to get some Army equipment down there?
No, thanks, Major. The Canal Authority already volunteered cooperation.
Wow.
Oh, I'm taking a helicopter on down to take a look at it just in case. You'd like to come along?
Would it be of any use to you?
Well, you might speed up identification.
Fine. When do we leave?
Well, let's see. About, 30 minutes?
Okay. I'll meet you at the airport.
All right, see you
then. All right, so I blew. I'll figure out something I ain't through yet.
Aren't you?
Oh. Oh, I gotta think. I gotta make plans. Okay, so I can't get out of this swamp. What do I do then? You, Big Jeep. Must be someplace around here I can hide out. Someplace dry, plenty of grub. Old Indian village, maybe. How about it, Chief? You know a village?
I know.
Okay, let's get going.
Where?
That's his business. He's a guide, ain't he?
He's our guide, yes.
All right, on your feet, Injun. What's the matter with him, Professor? Don't he understand about guns? Of
course I understand.
And you ain't afraid?
It is a man with gun who is afraid.
Let's take him where he wants to go, Kowasa. He won't hold up much longer.
Don't count on it, Professor. Come on, let's go.
Here she comes. That's it. All the way. Hold it.
How about it, Major?
It's one of ours, all right.
I'll take a close look.
Yeah, that's the Jeep Becker stole, no doubt about it.
Well, now we know where he was.
Why do you think he abandoned it?
Maybe he ran out of gas, went off the road, or just got panicky.
Where would he be headed from here?
I don't know. Well, Mr. Simmons, any place inside he might go?
Nothing very close. Except an old deserted Seminole village. Some professor set up camp there.
Anybody checked with him?
No. Juan Ortega's airport, the airboat went past on the canal this morning carrying supplies for him.
Where's this Ortega now?
Search me. I should have been back an hour ago.
You think we might borrow one of your airboats, Mr. Simmons?
Yeah, sure. You planning on going in after him?
That's right. Yeah, this is the village you're in.
Okay. Looks deserted.
Yeah. Except for that fellow on the bank there. Right over there, Major.
Ortega?
I guess so. Shot my head.
Wonder what happened to the boat.
Looks like a bullet hole here.
Adds up to Becker, all right.
Sure does.
No sign of the rest of the party.
Oh, he must have taken him with him.
Not much chance of our picking up a trail in this place.
Oh, I'm afraid not. Wait a minute, Major.
Huh?
Here, take a look at this.
That dead tree?
Yeah. Here, take a look on the bark.
Somebody's been whittling.
Or drawing with a sharp pointed object.
I'm afraid they won't help us find Becker.
Mike.
Hmm?
Well, we're on a straight line, see? None of the symbols repeat.
Symbols? You think it's sign language?
Could be. The old Seminoles had a system like this. They carved messages in the mangrove bark.
You think that the professor drew them?
Maybe. Or the Indian guide.
You remember any of the signs?
A few. Major, let's try and figure this thing out. If we can read it, it may be as good as a road map.
Dry. Plenty of grub.
How do you feel, Tracy?
I'm all right, Chuck. Don't worry.
Where are the people, Chief?
Men no longer live in this place.
One does now. Just one. Hey, sounds like a car.
It is. This village is part of the Everglades National Park. The tourist road runs just on the outside there.
Get down, all of you. Quiet.
You're too late, Becker.
I think you give me gun now.
Keep away from me, Chief. Now I'm gonna...
Now you're gonna drop that gun, Becker.
Huh?
Drop it! I'm a special agent of the FBI.
We're certainly glad to see you. I guess you found the symbols.
That's right, Professor. Well, there's one you left out, though. A gallows.
Becker was turned over to state authorities, was tried and found guilty of the murder of Juan. He received the death penalty. In the case you have just heard, your FBI's capture of the fugitive was materially speeded by the intelligent and courageous actions of his potential victims. However, their attempt to indicate the destination of the fugitive murderer would have been futile had it not been for the specialized knowledge and acute observation of detail exhibited by an agent of your FBI. The file on Charles Brick Becker is another of the long list of solved crimes resulting from the Bureau's outstanding policy of agent selection and training. Perhaps no greater tribute has been given these courageous and self-effacing law enforcement officers than that recently paid them by the director of the FBI, Mr. J. Edgar Hoover. I quote, "FBI agents are gentlemen at all times, conducting themselves in a businesslike, respectful, and efficient manner. Their personal conduct is above reproach. Their characters impervious to the temptations of financial graft, inaccurate reporting, or deliberate omission of facts. They feel proud to be FBI agents, and wherever they may be, they form part of the great tradition of loyalty, integrity, and devotion to duty. Their objective is to obtain facts and facts only. Promotions depend exclusively on merit, not on political favoritism, the friends they know, or the amount of derogatory information they unearth. They are secure in their jobs, not afraid of outside intimidation, threats, or fears. They can, therefore, concentrate on their specific task, knowing they will not be undercut by political bickering, personal strife, or arbitrary changes of policy.
This has been a Jerry Devine presentation, distributed by the Colas Hoffman Organization.